This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Yes, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. What's up, nerds? You can check me out on the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, wherever you get podcasts, wherever you download them, you ever stream anything, wherever you go. Again, download it, stream it. Don't listen. I don't care. I get credit for it. Hate listen. That's fine. You know, I think I got a source, very credible, who claims LeBron is in fact in decline. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And given how highly placed this source is, I am astounded at how many people don't find the source credible. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The source is, of course, LeBron James, who says he's probably never going to be 100% again. Hey, it was unlikely I was going to be 100% because of the high ankle sprain. I'll probably never be 100%. I doubt I'll ever be 100% again. That's from the horse's mouth, people. Well, you're taking him literally? Why wouldn't I? Well, because he's just trying to set the bar low, said Molly Karam on today's First Take. I was told, no, he's said stuff like that before. LeBron James, in the last 3 years, as Andre Snellings has pointed out earlier in this program, when you download the podcast, you can hear it, about 10 after the hour, 10 after 2 p.m. Eastern on the podcast, 10 minutes into the show. LeBron James missed a big chunk of the season, and the Lakers didn't compete for a championship his first year there because of injury. Then they won the title, and now this year a high ankle sprain has them lined up, if things stay as they are, to play the Clippers in the first round. No Schroeder the rest of the regular season to establish a rhythm. No LeBron for most of the rest of the regular season. So then you're just going to insert LeBron and Schroeder, both the primary ball handler and the secondary ball handler. The only two real playmakers on the team that way. Into a lineup to start a playoff run against the Clippers? I mean, a guy like Ibaka, if and when he ever gets back for the Clippers, it's a much easier piece to integrate because he's not determining your entire offense. He's blocking shots and he's shooting threes and playing some defense. That's additive and it's easy to integrate that piece. A guy who can space the floor and defend the rim and defend generally, that ain't a hard piece to integrate. But LeBron and Schroeder? LeBron's missed 6 weeks to this high ankle sprain. Lakers went 8-12 in games without him. Which, by the way, once AD got back, like just to show you what I mean about reintegrating pieces, when AD got back, the Lakers had been treading water about 500, then they lost a bunch of games. Because when a giant piece like that comes back and they're not in rhythm yet, you got to take a step backward to take two forward. But they don't have time to do that right now. They're sixth in the West and they want to avoid the play-in tournament too. By the way, they slip anymore. I don't know if the Clippers or the Jazz are harder to beat. I might rather play the Jazz in the first round than the Clips. They might be better off in a play-in tournament. That risk, that grind, and then avoid the Clippers, who are going to have a target on the Lakers, really unlike anyone else. Here's Adrian Wojnarowski. You know him as a one-man, cottage industry, would you say? On the 6 p.m. SportsCenter last night on the decision to sit LeBron as the Lakers fight for a playoff spot.
LeBron James re-aggravated that injury in that loss to the Raptors and sat out against Denver. And right now, he needs more rest for that ankle. And he talked of feeling sharp pains in it over the weekend playing. And this is an injury that I think LeBron James and the Lakers are starting to realize is going to be with him through the postseason. So they have a chance to get him some more rest here. I'm told to expect him to sit out that Thursday game against the Clippers and again Friday against the Blazers. And there's no certainty that he'll be back Sunday against Phoenix. And then you got New York next Tuesday in L.A. You know, they're going to take this maybe day by day after we get through these back-to-back games.
I mean, it is time to be concerned, Lakers fans, for sure. Cameron in Texas, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, how you doing, Max?
Hey, Cameron.
Was just calling to was just calling to bring up your Jeannie Buss point. I wanted to just ask, why do you think people are so butthurt because she has LeBron on her top five most important Lakers to her when LeBron was the first guy to come to the Lakers when she stepped foot as, you know what I'm saying, and took up the full ownership role? Why is it that
I don't think people are hurt about it? I really don't. I think what Lakers fans want to see is more championships before you get put on a list of the five most important Lakers ever, when most of those other people you're going to put on that list resulted, you know, contributed to multiple championships. Now, what I would say is Jeannie Buss certainly right now doesn't want to do anything to alienate LeBron James because he's their active superstar, their best player in the world on the team, whatever, right? So she's going to include LeBron automatically on a list. But I understand. See, the thing about the mentality of Lakers fans, and as a Yankees fan growing up, I related to it. The mentality of Lakers fans is the reason you want to win a championship is because you can't repeat before you win a championship. The reason you want to repeat is because you can't three-peat unless you win two in a row first. Lakers fans are not interested in championships. They're interested in dynasties. So when LeBron breezes into town, you know, competes for a title in one of the two years, but it'll be three if they don't compete this year for a title, Lakers fans are like, oh, time out. Kareem got five. Magic got five. Kobe got five. Phil got five. Pat Riley got four. Jerry West contributed not only as a player to a championship, but to multiple championships as an executive. Shaq got three with the Lakers. You can't just show up with the Lakers and say, I got one. You ain't at the table with one. Mitch in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hello, Max. How you doing?
Go ahead, Mitch.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
How does he and Green Bay have any leverage? And then I'm hearing rumors that if Denver gets the act, the Rays will go after him, and they maybe have more to offer. But if there's no leverage, wouldn't Derek Carr straight up for Aaron Rodgers since this happened after the draft?
Wait, who doesn't have leverage?
The Packers and Aaron Rodgers.
How does that go from there? The Packers don't have leverage with Aaron Rodgers. That's an illusion. I have a little bit, but Rodgers has almost all the leverage, in fact. But, and I've explained that earlier in the show, download the podcast and listen to what I said. You'll figure it out. But how do you go from there to Rodgers being traded straight up for Derek Carr? That would never happen. Robert in Iowa, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I was just thinking that the New Orleans Saints would be a great fit for Aaron Rodgers, thinking of an offensive-minded coach and still in the NFC. So I know he might want to be on the West Coast, but what's the thought there?
Well, I think a lot of people were thinking the Saints, and he'd be great on the Saints. And I think the Saints have been poised to win a Super Bowl had Breeze been better at the end of the, well, first of all, the Saints have been snake bit originally by some bad calls. Officiating snake bit the Saints, and also later on by some injuries in the last, let's say, 5 years. But we also have to be honest, also by Drew Brees underperforming in the playoffs. He was a smallish quarterback. He played a long time. He was getting older. And I think the season wore on him. And by the time the playoffs rolled around, he usually wasn't as effective as they needed him to be. Rodgers would seem to put him over the top. The Saints would be on my list for Rodgers, ideally, but maybe definitely not top three. Maybe they would be top five. Because I think if you're replacing Drew Brees with the amount of time Aaron Rodgers has left in his career, he'd never replace like Drew Brees in the hearts of Saints fans. And I think wherever he goes, it would be good for him to be the guy in the history of that franchise. Ryan Clark, the line right now, ESPN NFL analyst extraordinaire. Ryan, I know you like him on the Saints because you're from there. Unbiased opinion, where should Aaron Rodgers go?
You know, I would love to. I would love the Saints, and I think if you're a Saints fan, that's what you want as well. Think about what Drew Brees was. One, because he played 10 games a year in the dome. I think people often forget that. Or 9 games at least with Atlanta, and so you always have that. Then you have the Sean Payton effect and what he's been able to do, not only with Drew Brees, but with especially recently, whether it was Taysom Hill or Teddy Bridgewater replacing him. And now you think about that type of defense and what you could be for the next 2 or 3 years, where Aaron Rodgers is expected to be as good as any quarterback in this league. And just through calls today in production meetings, you know, hearing that around the league, people are thinking it's going to take maybe 2 ones and a 2 to get Aaron Rodgers. So you're telling me to get Aaron Rodgers, it's going to take 1 second-round draft pick more than it took to get safety Jamal Adams? If you're a team,
it's going to take more than that, is what that means. Yeah.
That's crazy to me. And so, you know, I would love for him to go to the Saints. I do think the Denver Broncos are the more viable option in the sense that if I'm the Green Bay Packers and I'm GM Brian Gutekunst, I'm not going to send him to a team I have to see in the playoffs. If I see you, it's going to have to be the Super Bowl. And by the way, I'm going to put you in a division with Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, and you're going to see him twice a year. And so I think the Denver Broncos will be the place, or would be the place that was higher on the list for him to go to. He could certainly compete for an AFC championship and a Super Bowl there. But the New Orleans Saints, man, would be the sweet spot. I might actually get tickets and go down and get ready the second line, because that team, to me, would have an opportunity to compete against Tampa Bay Buccaneers to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl.
I want to run some ideas by you now, okay? Number one, I understand the Broncos. The logic is sound. That's why everyone has them as the favorites to land them, right? His wife is from there. You know, they're in the AFC. They can be ready to win with a great quarterback, et cetera, et cetera. But here's my argument against the Broncos and the Saints from Aaron Rodgers' point of view. And maybe it's not a deal breaker, but it's something to consider. John Elway and the Broncos have done this before with Peyton Manning, so you'd be the next guy to do it with the Broncos. The Saints, you'll never replace Drew Brees in the hearts of New Orleans fans, right? You don't have enough time left in your career, most likely. But the Cleveland Browns, I know the market's unrealistic, have the number one offensive line in the game, blocking for the passer, protecting the passer, and blocking for the run, right? And they have 2 great backs, and they have multiple great receivers, and they have talent on the defense. I'd make them favorites to win the whole thing. For a franchise and a fan base who's so thirsty for it, you would immediately become the biggest thing in Cleveland history, rivaling LeBron James, okay? That would, you would be worshipped differently there. And who says he'd only win one? I think he'd win at least one down there. Here's the other one, Ryan. The Miami Dolphins. Also the AFC. The Dolphins are a national brand, or a team waiting to be a national brand, because of Dan Marino, and because before that, the 72 Dolphins, the undefeated Dolphins back in the day, they have a national following. It's a warm weather, cosmopolitan, international city. They have talent on the defense. They have a slew of draft picks, a lot of talent. They're a double-digit win team already. I think he'd have a real good shot to win a Super Bowl down there, where he'd be worshipped unlike anyone else also, in an amazing situation. What about those two teams?
You know, I like Miami better, and here's why. And not even as far as it's concerning Aaron Rodgers. I think that's the more probable trade. Mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield, at least last year in his rookie year, showed us that he has the potential to be the franchise quarterback of the Cleveland Browns.
Sure.
And if you believe in him enough, you can think for the next decade he's your quarterback, and you expect him to play well enough to give you opportunities to win championships, give you opportunities to win Super Bowl. The Cleveland Browns, as constructed right now, to me, are the biggest competition for the Kansas City Chiefs, along with the Buffalo Bills and the AFC. So I think that's a hard sell if you got to give up Baker Mayfield, draft picks, and assets to get Aaron Rodgers. And let's be honest, still, Max, as great as me, you and I both think that he is, I think he's the best I ever played against. Even with that, he's only been to 1 Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. A bunch of NFC championship games, though.
Yeah, he's been to a bunch of championship games, but that doesn't matter, right? It's about getting to the Super Bowl. It's about winning the Super Bowl, right? It's the same reason you and I never put LeBron in Michael Jordan's category.
Right.
And no matter how many times Kendrick Perkins comes on and says he's been the 10, we don't care. And so that's another thing about Aaron Rodgers. It doesn't guarantee you Super Bowls. But when you look at Miami, Tua Tagovailoa hasn't even been there long enough to show us that he could be that guy. Now, the hard part for the Green Bay Packers is, do you want two dudes drafted in the same draft in the quarterback room? But you look at what they have defensively, the pieces that they've added with Jalen Waddle. Now you have Jalen Phillips to add to that rush on the other side defensively. And this is a team with picks, right? Three first-round picks in the next 2 years. And so to me, if I'm Brian Flores, I do it. I'm going to be honest with you. If I'm Greer and I'm sitting there and I'm the GM, I make this trade in Miami. And you can say that you think you believe in Tua and Tua can be your guy as much as you want. You get Aaron Rodgers there for the next 4 or 5 years, you're competing for a Super Bowl. I don't think Tua Tagovailoa gives you that. So Miami, of those two, would be the place for me. And I don't think it's just a good trade or a good spot for Aaron Rodgers. I think it's probable.
Right. Wow. Yeah, I think they are. They're like, they'd be high up on the list of possibilities. I don't think the Cleveland market's probably a deal breaker. I bet you Aaron Rodgers don't want to be there. But I disagree about the Baker Mayfield point, because while Baker Mayfield does not appear to me to be a quarterback who would prevent you from winning a Super Bowl, that's a lot different from saying a quarterback who's extraordinarily great, who can be a reason why you win the Super Bowl. The team is so strong that a mid-pack quarterback might win with them, which is why I think you like Baker Mayfield there. But let's keep in mind, Brady's 43. Rodgers, if he just plays at this level till he's 40, let's say, got 4 more years. You got 4 shots at winning a Super Bowl in Cleveland. And the high leverage kind of moment that they're at right now in Cleveland, I think it'd be worth it, but it's probably a moot point anyway. Ryan Clark on the Goodyear Hotline, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Ryan Clark, you were a Pittsburgh Steeler champion. Your Steelers needed help in this draft, and they got the best running back, likely, in Najee Harris. But to me, Ryan, they needed offensive line help. The reason they couldn't run the ball is not because the running backs aren't good enough, it's because they don't block for the run well enough, which is a problem if Roethlisberger's not pushing the ball down the field, right? Because now you can play up on the run and on Roethlisberger. Did they do the right thing getting the best available player, maybe? You know, the best running back? Or should they have taken a lineman?
You know, it depends on where you had the lineman graded. Obviously, at that part or at that particular space in the draft, you're not going to get the first 4 or 5 linemen of your choice, right? But at that point of the draft, you could get the first running back of your choice. And it was, what separation did you have on the offensive lineman you would draft there at 24 and the offensive lineman you got in the next round, or in the comparison to Najee Harris and the running back you could get the next round, whether it was Javonte Williams from North Carolina or whoever you thought would be there. And I think that's the way you have to look at your draft board at that position, is in improving the running game, does the offensive lineman I can pick at this space make my run game better, make my pass game better than the running back? And I think when you looked at Najee Harris's overall production, the kind of measurable size, speed, agility, they felt like in the pass game, he caught the ball well enough at Alabama. Also in the run game, he was explosive enough with big plays. One of the more, at least overall through his career, one of the most productive players to ever play the position at Alabama under Nick Saban. I think that's why they went with Najee Harris. If you draft a little bit earlier, right, and you can get, you know, the guard from USC, if you can get the tackle from Northwestern, that's an easy choice. But where they were drafting, I felt they made the best pick for their board and for their needs there.
The great Ryan Clark, ladies and gentlemen, you can catch him on Get Up on ESPN, First Take, NFL Live. Wherever there is football being discussed on your TV on ESPN, you can catch Ryan Clark. Ryan, also on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Always love it when you jump on, brother. Appreciate it.
My man, have a great one, bro.
You too. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Believe Brady? Do you believe him, Tom Brady, that he'd trade 2 Super Bowl rings for a perfect season? No doubts next. It's time for some straight talk. Sure, saving money feels good. Cutting your wireless bill in half? That feels really good. Like walk-off home run in the ninth inning. Good. Okay, maybe not that good, but pretty good. With Straight Talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50%. Not 49%, 50%. Less than the other guys, plus no contract, all on America's best networks. It's hard to believe, right? 50% less than the other guys and no contract on the best networks. Why pay a whole lot when you can pay half? Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise, no doubt. Coming up.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Check me out on the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, wherever you get your podcast. Gotta talk a little Raiders. John Gruden has been there for a hot minute, and people are starting to notice that, well, we'll get into it in a second. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It is time for No Doubt. I'm going to get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No Doubt.
All right, Raj, what do we have today?
Hey, Max, happy Cinco de Mayo, man.
Well, thank you, you too.
You remember being out here in L.A., big thing for out sure. here. Hey, you'll be celebrating Cinco de Mayo later today at a local bar near you.
Or no, I don't have time to celebrate, Raj, because I was supposed to be, this was supposed to be a travel day for me. It's been postponed by a day, but it looks like that'll be tomorrow, so I got a lot of things to do before I can hit the road, so...
Right,
so unfortunately, the work never ends. Raj, when you
I'll
work for
you
a
what,
living, it's, you know, really in this business, it's around the clock. I don't know what to tell you.
I'll be a team player and I will celebrate for you. Okay.
I can barely hear you, Raj.
I said I will be a team player and I will celebrate for you.
Oh well, that's magnanimous of that's mighty kind. It's generous of you.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, hey,
you'll have to be celebrating
on,
for two.
Yes, I'll do my best. Hey, you believe Brady that he trade his two Super Bowl rings for a perfect season?
No doubt. I believe him. And you want to hear what's so gangster about it, Raj? But well, if he only had five, would he still be the GOAT in football and blah, blah, blah? Perfect season in your best year. Never been done in the 16-game schedule, which is now a thing of the past, apparently. You're about to be coronated. The Super Bowl is supposed to be a coronation of the greatest team in the history of American team sports, right? Now that team's not even looked at as the greatest football team of all time, or in the Super Bowl era even. Yeah, that's something that I can understand, but the most gangster part of it is, Raj, Brady's not saying, I'll give you two rings to get that perfect season, because then I'll be sitting on five. He's saying, I'll give you two, because I got seven, and I'm not done. I'm not done. I'll get back to seven. So it's a next level of gangsterism with Brady right now.
Yeah, that's next level for sure. Yeah. Hey, Adele turns 33 today. I'm not sure. Originally, I wrote this for our man George Sedano, so I don't know if you know who she is. But
Of course.
Hey, she's the top of your current female singer list.
You know what? I don't know if she's at the very top. She's up there, though. I like Adele.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I would say, nah, son, but not far away.
All right, we'll take that as a nah. All right, hey. Jimmy G will be a 49er. Remember, Jimmy G was on Key, J. Will, and Zubla yesterday. He'll be a 49er when the season begins.
That was a good get for those guys, by the way. Yeah, no doubt, Jimmy G will be a 49er when the season begins. Why would the 49ers give up Jimmy G on a Super Bowl contender when everything's set up perfectly for them? Like, you wouldn't even get a first-round pick for Jimmy G, right? And what'd you get for him? A second-round pick? You got back basically what you used in the draft to get him. And you came one throw away from winning a Super Bowl. And it look what happened with Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes. And maybe Trey Lance is never a Patrick Mahomes. I mean, who's Patrick Mahomes? But Alex Smith at that point I don't think was as good as Jimmy G is right now. Alex Smith didn't get his team one throw away from winning a Super Bowl. Alex Smith didn't have a 24-8 record lifetime for a team, 22-8 for that team, because he's 2-0 with the Patriots. But for a team that basically loses three times as much as they win without him? Nah. I would say no doubt Jimmy G is a 49er to start the season. Yeah.
All right. Hey, let's see what the people got something to say about Aaron Rodgers, Max.
I do see that. Brad and Compton, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, Max, how you doing? Love your show.
Good, thanks, Brad. What's up?
do us a favor. Those 3 weeks ago when you missed those shows, we all had to listen to music. So don't miss any more shows.
I'm trying my best. You hear how scratchy my voice is? I just got my second Pfizer shot. I'm not missing work. You know, I do have to travel sometimes, but there's going to be one day this week that I'm probably going to have. But, you know, it's not today. What do you got, Brad?
So, Aaron Rodgers, right now, you think he's more worried about getting more money or winning?
Between those two, I would take winning because he's made a lot of money and he's going to get a lot of money no matter where he goes. I would say that I'm not sure it's really about either. I think he wants to be happy where he plays and wants to be respected where he plays. But I do say that one of the ways to maybe make him happy and show him that you respect him and kind of get those personal feelings to be more aligned with his professional interests is to make him an offer that makes him the highest paid football player of all time. Guarantee him $160+ million, and watch how his personal feelings might turn around. Jason in Florida, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Max, hey, what's up, man? This is a slam dunk to me. I mean, if Green Bay is willing to trade within the conference in the NFC, if Aaron Rodgers goes to Washington,
yeah.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, number one, I think that'd be great. Obviously, with the defense, Terry McLaurin could turn into Devontae Adams. And Rodgers is probably going to be president one day, so just get him set up in D.C.
I agree. I think the Washington football team is a very good destination for Rodgers. If the Packers would trade him in the NFC, I also think the Giants are a really good destination for Aaron Rodgers, though they need more work on the offensive line. But the Giants have so many dynamic weapons on offense. They also have a good defense. So Rodgers, dynamic weapons, defense, the only drawback being an offensive line, I think he works there too. Meantime, Dodgers fans, did you hear what the Astros had the nerve to tell Major League Baseball about fans booing them? The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Check me out on the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, wherever you get your podcasts. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You miss any of the show today? Raj had a problem adjusting my volume. Every other show in the industry seems to have no problem with the volume, but Raj and Brendan, our technical leader, he's trying to call me Raj.
See, that's the 1-800-SNITCH line. That should be the 1-800 lie line, for one. Not even the snitch line. That's the 1-800 tell the lies.
I'm trying to do a radio show. You can always find both hours of the show posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts, as I mentioned.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because yeah. I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's last take.
So listen to this, Dodgers fans. The Astros have the nerve to be crying like babies. Babies is what I was going to say. Like babies to Major League Baseball about fans taunting them in stadiums. Aw. According to a report by Sports Illustrated's Stephanie Epstein, a Yankees fan was asked to remove his trash can outfit at the stadium before Tuesday's game after security told him the Astros had complained about fans in other cities and Major League Baseball instructed the Yankees to tighten their in-stadium rules. You make us feel bad about our cheating with trash cans and the fact that we're trash. Wah. Dusty Baker, listen to him at the press conference about Altuve.
They were extremely hard on you know, Altuve, you know, tonight, the fans were.
Yeah, no kidding, Dusty Baker. You weren't there. I don't blame you. You're the manager. You're sticking up for your guys because you're a good manager and all that. But Altuve seemed to know what was coming in that 2017 series. I really thought, maybe I have to replace Joe Morgan as the greatest, you know, maybe this guy's the greatest second baseman ever, because under pressure, he's unbelievable. And it turns out he was cheating. and that thing. Do I think it's credible that he had something on, right, like an electronic device, and that's why he didn't want his shirt ripped off when he came up with that hilariously bogus sounding, oh, no, my wife didn't want my shirt to be taken. Yeah, I do think that's credible. I do, based on what I know about the cheating Astros. Yes, I do. You're damn right I do. And people should never stop giving Altuve the business for that. That should follow him for the rest of his career. And by the way, they should give that MVP to Aaron Judge that year. All right, now I'm going to calm down because I got to talk about John Gruden and the Raiders. You know, there's been a lot of talk recently about the fact that it's been 3 years. He has all this power in the organization. He was supposed to remake it in his image, right? Apparently he doesn't think a lot about himself because the Raiders were better off before Gruden. You know, it's one thing to go reaching in drafts for players. You have them rated higher than others, but then you got to be right about them eventually is what I'm trying to say. Eventually is the word I was looking for, Raj. I have a pretty good vocabulary, I'd say, a pretty good English vocabulary, and yet I sometimes have problems pronouncing words, and sometimes I have a problem saying the word eventually. Anyway, listen to Warren Sharp of Sharp Analytics. No team has invested capital into the secondary like the Raiders. 14 picks in the last 5 years, most in the NFL. The average is 8 picks. 6 in rounds 1 and 2 in the secondary. Most in the NFL. The average is 2. They're tripling that. 12 in the first 4 rounds. Most in the NFL. The average is 4.6. They're more than doubling it. Yet the secondary's been terrible. So Warren Sharp writes, the talent evaluation process must change. Gruden got a 10-year deal. After 3 years, I would say in the NFL, it's fair to say, you've been with an organization for 3 years. To keep your job, I would think you need to be 500. Is that asking so much? I'm not even saying make the playoffs. I'm saying be 500. You have 3 years to be an average team. Can you do that? No. Well, how much longer should you have that job? You know? I gave him a 10-year deal. He ain't going anywhere. But he is, his grade, if C is average, no one thinks of it that way. They're like, oh, C's average. Gruden gets a D. He doesn't get an F. I wouldn't say the Raiders are a joke every year. They're not. If, you know, a win against the Raiders is a win against a real NFL team. They're not rolling over. But is he doing an average job after 3 years? No, it's below average. Gruden gets a D plus, if that exists. I was always confused about that. If a C minus is a 70 and an F is a 65, is there a D plus? That's a good question. I should ask that question on Twitter. Is there such a thing as a D plus? I know I got a few of those in high school, but maybe they were just being nice. Cameron, Louisiana, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
What's going on, Max?
Good,
so, yeah, I think this year, I mean, Lakers, AD, LBJ, AD, both injured. I mean, that's a problem. I think if they face the Clippers, it's a first round out. I think you got Ty Lue and you got Rondo both play with him. I think that's a little bit of a factor. Mm-hmm. But I think Luka is next in line. Something about him. I know you said, you know, Mavs in 5 years. Who do you like? So Clippers this year, who do you like getting around the Mavs, if KP stays healthy, of course, to team up with Luka? I think if they get like a Devin Booker or like a nice center out of college or the Freak, I think Dallas is next.
Well, you said the Freak. I mean, I think that's where you have to look, because Porzingis' health is an issue to the point now where anything you get from him is gravy. You cannot rely on his health. You just can't. So, and what the health is meant for Porzingis is every year he spends the whole year getting back to where he was, so he never gets to advance. At this point, I think we should assume he never will advance. So what he is when he's at his best is a very, very good player, but something less than an MVP-caliber player. And so the Mavs, who were my preseason sleeper, I don't have as high hopes for as I did. Right, so Luka needs a crime partner. Yeah, the Freak would be amazing. Amazing. Giannis would be amazing with Luka. Maybe they could work it out. I know Giannis just signed the extension, but if they keep getting stopped, say in the second round, eventually he ain't going to be happy. Dave in Nebraska, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Thanks, Max. Just one quick question. Speaking of D pluses, just a real quick thing on Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Do you think there's any chance that he could be included in a trade, not necessarily for Aaron Rodgers, but as like a third team facilitating to get the Minnesota Vikings actual quarterback?
No, I don't see it. Kirk Cousins is not good enough. I don't think he has much trade value, and I don't see him being a trading chit. It's not chip. It's actually chit, C-H-I-T. How about that? To land you someone like Aaron Rodgers. How much time, Brendan? Well, this has been the Max Kellerman Show. Shanae and Golic Jr. up next. And the next time you hear from me will be at the earliest tomorrow.
Perf.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.